Try to settle into the body. The body as you feel it from within. What the texts call form. And try to find a sense of pleasure here. Explore the breath to see how it feels. And adjust it just so it feels just right. Not too long, not too short, too deep, too shallow, too heavy, too light. When the breath feels good, try to notice if there's, where there's a sense of ease. And think of it spreading around the body like a liquid. It can seep through all the little nooks and crannies of the body. And allow your awareness to follow it. Or if you want, you can put the awareness out there first and then think of the breath following the awareness. But the important thing is that you try to fill the body with a sense of well-being. Fill it with your awareness. And then as for any thoughts that go out into the world, out into your visual field or your aural field, just let them go. Kind of a sense that you belong here. This is normalcy. The Atayachans talk about the mind settled in at ease, at equanimity, as the normal state of mind, or the mind at normalcy. In the same way as when you're observing the precepts, I say that's when your behavior finally is at normalcy. And for most of us, that's not the case. At least that's not our sense of normal. Distraction is our normalcy. And desires that go along with that distraction out in the sensory realm. That's where we normally are. And so one of the points of meditation is to change your sense of normal. This is one of the reasons why we leave the activity, say, of a city, the activity of even little towns or farms. Come to a quiet place like this. Because when you're staying there, the way everybody else is behaving, that seems normal. And you want to be able to pull out and say, is that really normal? And it's good to get out and have a sense of society being strange. Right now it's especially strange, but even when society seems to be relatively normal, going its ordinary way, from the point of view of the Dharma, that's strange. People are going along in line with their defilements. As John Munn used to say, whatever culture there is in the world, it's a culture of people with defilements. There's only one culture that's not, and that's the culture of the noble ones. And the noble ones don't think like other people do. And yet we want to learn how to see their thinking as normal if we're going to learn how to benefit from their teachings. So that when thoughts of, say, sensuality come up, sensual desire or anger, you want to see them as strange. This is one of the reasons why we have the contemplation of the body. You think about all the pleasures that revolve around the body. And you look what you've got when you take the body apart. You look at a diagram of the inside of the body, and it's very bizarre. If you were to take all the different organs out and put them on the floor, you'd run away. It'd be so strange. And when they're all sewed up nicely inside, you can look at a human body and actually want it. You can look at your own body in the mirror and it seems normal. It seems okay. So there's an incongruity here. And the contemplation of the body, as with all the other contemplations that deal with our defilements, are meant to show how incongruous our desires are. We have to turn a blind eye to so many things in order to stoke our greed, stoke our lust, stoke our anger, and put the mind into what the Buddha would say is an abnormal state. Yet for us, that's the spice of life. So we have to learn how to change our views. This is one of the reasons why we come to have this sense of well-being in the body as our refuge. Because as the Buddha points out, if we didn't have any other alternative to pain, we'd just go for nothing but sensuality. Because that's the only other option that's out there to find some pleasure. So it's important that you take a strong sense of pleasure in the body, simply sitting here. That's a part of your awareness that our culture tends to block off. We don't have much of a vocabulary to describe the body as it feels from within. And all the interesting things in the world seem to be happening out there. Yet, actually, we're in here. And it's unnatural for us to be pulled out there so much. So get back in touch with your body as it feels from within. And learn how to relate to it in a way that's balanced. Some people, especially if they had a lot of suppressed emotions in the past, will find that weird energies will move in different directions. The body gets stuck in different parts. You have to think of everything opening up, all the channels open, open, open. Any excess energy can flow out the palms of the hands, the soles of the feet. If something's stuck in your head, think of it going out the eyes, the ears, or down to the throat. In other words, learn how to have a sense that you can be with the sense of the body and not push it in strange directions. Have a sense this is normalcy. And as for your thoughts that pull you out, learn to look at them as strange. As the Buddha said, discernment comes down to seeing things as other, as separate. And yet we live in our thought worlds, and for us they're really normal. Your desires, your angers are very much yours. If we could take thoughts and put them out in a lineup, you'd probably be able to pick out your thoughts very quickly. There's a certain you-ness to your thoughts. And again, that seems normal. It's one of the reasons why we go for them. We keep going for them again and again and again. But stop and think. In all the many lifetimes you've had, you've been many different kinds of people with lots of different ideas about what's beautiful, what's ugly, what's fair, what's not fair. That's just your times as a human being. You've probably been other types of beings as well. Different genders, different races. We've been through all of them. And each time it was me. My thoughts, my ideas, my taste of things, my desires. But just think about what you were like maybe 200 years ago and how strange that would be. Well, learn to look at yourself right now as strange, especially your thoughts. So you can have a much more solid sense of feeling at home here, belonging here with your breath. And see anything that would pull you away as alien. It's like learning a different language or going to a different country. At first you're struck by how strange that language is and how strange that country is. If you stay there long enough, get fluent enough at the language, it becomes more normal. And then you come back home. And home seems strange. Well, it's precisely the attitude that you should learn to have around your thoughts. They really are strange. The fact that you would desire something, the fact that you would have lust for something. The things that get you angry. If you can see them as strange, it's easier to pull out of them. Otherwise, you live in them. They become a becoming. A whole world in which you take on an identity. And it's these states of becoming that cause us to suffer. They require feeding, and feeding requires suffering. In fact, the Buddha's word for clinging, which he identifies with suffering, can also mean to feed. To take on this identity, you have to feed. It means you've got to suffer. So any craving that would pull you in that direction, you've got to see that as strange, as alien. Otherwise, you go for it again and again and again. So learn to see your thoughts as strange. See the mind centered here in the body with a sense of balance. See that as normal. And it puts everything else in a new perspective.